In verse 30, I told Sister Collins this afternoon, I said, I'm getting those nervous jitters. She said, that's all right. Everybody has to learn on somebody. It might as well be us. So you might get a learner's permit tonight. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it unto his father, and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me, and I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him, and what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. In the book of John, chapter 8. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Skipping down to 34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this night. We ask, Father, for the precious anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. We ask, Lord, that you would let us speak as the oracles of God, and that you would move in the altars. Break each and every yoke, I pray. Lord, I ask that you would meet each and every need. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Christ's name, amen. With the help and with the grace of God tonight, I'd like to preach to you a simple thought out of one of the most familiar passages of scriptures in the Bible. I'd like to preach to you tonight on begging out of bondage. Begging out of bondage. We read in the book of Genesis how that Jacob had went in and deceived his father into believing that he was Esau, and had taken the meat of a goat and had made it savory and had caused it to taste like wild venison. We read of how he took the goat's hair and he placed it upon his forearms and on the back of his neck. And he went into his father Isaac, and Isaac, being blind, said, you don't sound like Esau. But he reached out and he touched him and he said, but you feel like him. And you even smell like him. And so we know that Isaac gave Esau's blessing to Jacob. And Esau, being the firstborn, entered into the tent and he said, Father, I've brought you your meat. And Isaac said, who are you? He said, I am your firstborn, Esau. And he said, I've already given your blessing to someone else, and he shall be blessed. And the Bible says that Esau wept, and Esau cried, and Esau begged for a blessing. And Isaac didn't totally return Esau away, but he said, you shall break the yoke from off his neck. I just read to you in the book of John, the Bible says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. But what is freedom? What is freedom? Freedom is the ability to move and to do and to act as we wish. But bondage, what is bondage? Something that keeps us from doing what we desire to do the most. Something that keeps us from the freedom that we most want to have. There are many types of bondage. Just bear with me. There are many types of bondage. There are physical prisons. There are physical elements of bondage. There are bars. There are chains that hold us back when we commit crimes. There are jackets that have been made to keep us from being able to move our arms and our hands. Handcuffs that keep us from operating how we wish to operate. There are many types of bondage. But can I tell you tonight that there is no bondage worse than the bondage of sin. There is no bondage like this bondage of sin that causes us to be bound within our hearts and within our lives and causes our very hearts to be oppressed and causes us to never experience the freedom of the Spirit of God Almighty. There are several kinds of bondage. But only one bondage binds the soul. Many bondages bind men. Many bondages put them for most of their lives in a prison cell. But only one bondage will bind you for eternity. And it is the bondage of sin. And there is no freedom from this bondage that man can bring. But I read to you the verse, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There is no need as the church of God, as the children of God, to be bound and oppressed, for Jesus Christ is the deliverer. Hallelujah. But you see, it's hard to recognize when we're bound. I promise you I want to preach to you tonight, but let me build a foundation. You see, we can be in a prison and not even recognize that we're bound. But it doesn't do any good not to realize and not to admit that we're not bound, because it does not make us any freer. Amen? You see, I can be tossed in a prison cell and I can say all day, I'm not locked up. I'm not locked up. I'm free. In just a minute, I'm going to get my keys and I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to go down and get me something to eat. I'm free. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. I'm still bound. There's nothing I can do. I'm locked up. But you see, there are many today in the church. There are many today in the realm of Christianity who are bound. They are locked up by the lust of their flesh and the desires thereof, yet they do not admit it. They do not recognize that something has crept in and caused their hearts to be bound and oppressed with sin. So therefore they come to church and say, hallelujah, I'm free. Hallelujah, I'm free. Glory to God, I can still feel the presence of God Almighty. I can still feel the anointing of the Holy One. But the fact is, they are bound. The fact is, they are in bondage. And they need the freedom of the Holy Ghost to once again come by and unlock the chains that have been bound. You see, church, there's nothing we can do for ourselves to be freed. But when we realize that we are in bondage, if we cry out to the Son of the living God, He will loose us and let us go. Glory to God. Free. Loose. How long has it been since some of us have felt the refreshing power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost flow over our hearts and over our lives? How long has it been since some of us have entered into the presence of God Almighty, locked in a closet of prayer, and felt the liberty of the Spirit there as the Holy Ghost began to speak to us, and we begin to speak forth the integrity of our heart, the desires of our heart, and have God come by and meet our need? How long has it been? Are we bound? The first step is to recognize that you're bound. Recognize that you're bound. Don't deny it. You see, the story of a blind man is told in John. Jesus was passing by and he said, "Jesus, I'm blind and I need your touch." He couldn't see. The Bible says that Jesus spat in the clay and he mixed it and he put it on the blind man's eyes and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the man went and washed. He said, "I can see. I can see." But you see, we have done this man any good to say, "I'm not blind." Now come on. How much good would it have done for this blind man when Jesus came by to say, "What is your need today? What can I do for you today?" If he would have said, "Oh, I don't have a need. I'm perfectly healthy. I'm perfectly fine." We would have never had the beautiful story of the man saying, "I don't know what happened, but wherein I once was blind, now I see." Some of us need to recognize tonight that we are bound, and we need to go to the man called Jesus and say, "Meet my need. Set me free." Recognize that you're bound. For when you are bound, you are not living the life that God has for you. You see, they say that men in prison can remember almost everything that has happened to them in their entire life. They say when a man goes to prison that he can remember the first day that he rode his tricycle, what color it was, and what kind it was. They say he can remember a neighbor down the street baking him cookies when he was 4 years old. Why? Because when they're locked behind prison bars, they look back on their experiences that were good to them. The things that were good for them. The things that were right for them when they were free. So friend, can I tell you tonight that if the only time that you can remember having been blessed by God is a memory, you need to be set free tonight. You need Jesus Christ to unlock the bonds, to break the chains of sin with the blood of Jesus. You need a refreshing touch of God back in your life. Hallelujah. For you see, there's no need for us to be bound. There's no need for us to be bound. When we came and knelt at an altar, Jesus didn't give us chains. He gave us a cross. Hello? Men in prison remember all. After we recognize that we're bound, then we begin to seek Him who can set us free. We begin to seek the One who can set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This might not sound like much, but I know the Holy Ghost is helping right now. You see, tonight, there's some of you that are bound. There is some of you that are bound, and God is wanting to set you free tonight. But you're looking at a 20-year-old preacher and saying, boy, you are crazy. You can say it all you want, but Jesus Christ wants to deliver you tonight. I don't care if you're 40. I don't care if you're 60. I don't care if you're 80 or 100. I don't care if you're 10. The blood of Jesus has no age factor. He wants to come by and touch you if you'll let Him. Hallelujah. You seek the one who can set you free. What about the demoniac of Gadarene? He ran through the tombs. They bound him with physical chains, but his soul's chains were so much stronger that he broke free. And there was nothing that they could do to control this man. A gross sinner. But would you just stop and think for a minute, what was the man of Gadarene before he was a demoniac? He was a Jew. Did this Jew go to the synagogue on the Sabbath? Did this Jew not hear the word of God being brought forth? Did this Jew not hear them sing the songs of Zion? Did this Jew not hear them lift the praises to the King? But something gripped his heart. Something bound him up. And so the only time we read about him is in the most serious plight of his life, when Satan has his hand upon him and he is bound. But the Bible says one day this man named Jesus set foot on the island, and instantly this man said, leave us alone. Jesus said, what is your name? He said, it's Legion, for we are many. Now wait a minute. We are many. You can't deliver me. But Jesus said, go. And instantly, the man was free. But the thing that I want you to notice tonight is that when the man was set free, what did he do? Did he say, thank you, I think I'll go back and do exactly what I was doing before you set me free? I think I'll just stay right out here running in these tombs, and I'll just stay out here half naked running around with chains, and when I see children, I'll scream at them and spit on them and kick them, and I think I'll just run through the town making wild shrieking noises. Is that what the man did? No, when Jesus set him free, he said, thank you, Lord. Can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. Go home and tell all what I have done for you. Some of us need to get free and need to leave behind the habits that we have picked up and begin to tell others about the delivering power of Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, completely, totally free. Free. He didn't shy away from the one who could deliver him. He didn't turn his back on the one who could deliver him. He didn't come and sit in the presence of Jesus Christ and say, you can't do it. He didn't stand by Jesus and say, you can't do it. He didn't walk around Jesus and say, you can't set me free. And I say, what has all that got to do? Well, some of us come to church. We get up on the platform and we sing the songs of Zion. We lift our hands, but the whole time we never once touch Jesus. We just walk around Him and say, you can't do it. We just walk around Him and say, it's not possible. I've been doing this for so long that there's no way that you can bring victory in my life. There's no way that I can put this habit down. There's no way that I can quit this sin that has really sprang up in my life. But Jesus Christ can and will set you free. The woman with the issue of blood, oppressed, bound for 12 years, did all that she could do. Went to every physician that there was available. No help. Not a chance of help. Oh, but what happened? The Bible says that Jesus being pressed about. Now hold on. Here's a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. And according to Leviticus chapter 15, she could not even touch anyone. Now I don't know if you can imagine with me one of the worst, to me it would be the worst possible thing. I have an 11-year-old brother. I love him. Sometimes. I love him. But the first thing that he does when I come home is he runs and jumps on me and gives me a hug. For 12 years, this lady, this woman, couldn't even reach out and grasp the hand of her husband. For 12 years, she couldn't pick up her child and hug it and hold it close. For 12 years, she couldn't even prepare food for her husband. For 12 years, she was bound. But I want you to notice what this woman did. You see, I can just picture, and pardon me, but I like to imagine what happens in the Bible. I like to put a little Israel Ochoa theology behind it. But I can see her bent, tired. And she sees Jesus. She said, if I could just touch Him. Touch the hem of His garment. I know that I would be made whole. She didn't say, if I could just walk around Him. She didn't say, if I could just stand off in the corner and worship Him. She didn't say, if I could just one time get Him to look at me. She said, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. Maybe you don't see the significance of it. But this woman was weak. This woman was bound. This woman was tired. How did she get through the crowd to touch the hem of His garment? The same way tonight that you can get through to touch Him. The Bible says, to them gave He power to be called the sons of God. He empowered her. He empowered her. And I can see her as she just began, oh, as weak as she was, she began to grow. And I can see her maybe just growling a little bit. Saying, I gotta touch Him. Move. I gotta touch Him. I gotta touch Him. And she touched Him. And she was set free. But you see, Jesus didn't let it stop there. Such a beautiful story. But there's one more thing that I love about this story. You see, He said, who touched Me? Now how could they know who touched Him with 100 people around Him? You see, there's a difference between casually being around Jesus or coming to Jesus for your need to be met. And Jesus said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. But she told Him all. You might think tonight, oh, this sin's too great. I don't ever want anyone to know it tonight. But I could see Jesus as He said, daughter, who touched Me? who touched me? And she fell down on her knees and said, Jesus, according to Leviticus 15, I shouldn't even be here today. According to Leviticus 15, I shouldn't even have pressed my way through the crowd because by touching these people, I made them unclean. According to Leviticus 15, I shouldn't even be here in your presence. I shouldn't be anywhere around you. But Jesus made her whole. You may be in this place tonight and say, I shouldn't even be here. My sin's too great. I feel like a hypocrite. I come to church and I praise the Lord. But inside, I'm as black as sin. I'm black. My heart is wicked. But if you go to Jesus, He will say, no, you're not worthy, but He will set you free. He will set you free. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm doing any good or not. You need to be set free tonight. You need to be set free tonight. You're living on a victory that was happened 10 years ago. You're living on a victory that happened 2 months ago. But you need a touch of God tonight. You need the touch of God tonight. You need the anointing to flood your heart tonight. And the only way that you're going to get it is to press until you've touched Him. Until you have touched Him whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. How many of you tonight are tired of being bound? You're tired of an up and down relationship with Jesus Christ. You're tired of coming to church and coming to an altar and praying and getting up, and instead of leaving your chains there, you pick them back up and you put them on and you wrap them back around you and you walk out and say, I got a hold of Him, but I still got these chains. I cried a little bit, but I still got these chains. I can't seem to shake them. I can't seem to let them off. Oh, if you could just get the significance of this one scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Free. You can leave the chains. Oh, God. I'm already preaching longer than I wanted to. Oh God. Sister, could you go to the piano and play that chorus again? There are some here that are bound tonight and you see no end. You see no end to your bondage. You get up in the morning and you say, God, I want to serve You, but these chains are too heavy. But on the other hand, there's some of you here who don't even realize that you're bound. A story was told of a young girl who knew the Lord, and she backslid and got away from God. And she got as far away from God as she could possibly go, and she found out that she had contracted the disease of AIDS. And she began to write an evangelist that she used to listen to when she was saved, and she began to tell him some of the things that she had done. And she said, preacher, before I die, I want to be in a Holy Ghost service one more time. I want to feel the touch of God one more time before I die. He said, sister, I'd love to help you, but I'm 1,300 miles away. And she said, I don't care. I'll be there. This woman, in writing the letters to the evangelist, had told him that since she had backslidden, she had become a prostitute on the street corner. And she became addicted to heroin. She became so bad that she had shot every vein in her body. Soon she was using dirty needles and she stuck them beneath her fingernail and her finger became infected and they had to cut it off. And she sent the preacher pictures of a baby and she said, "This used to be my baby, but I got high. I stuck it in a closet and I left it there so long that it starved to death." She said, "I was so high I couldn't even go to the funeral." I'm talking about bonds tonight. I'm talking about being bound tonight. She came to the revival and the preacher preached and the preacher preached and Monday night he preached nothing. Tuesday night he preached and nothing. Wednesday night he preached and nothing. Thursday night he preached and nothing. But Friday night he preached on the power of Jesus Christ and his ability to set you free. And she broke and she ran to an altar and she began to weep. And when she was done, this preacher knew all that she had done. He took his microphone and he said, "How is it with your soul?" She took the microphone and she turned around and she said, "I just want the church to know there's still a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." I said, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." You say, "Preacher, I'll never go that far." Well, I got one more story for you. Young man raised in a Pentecostal home. Received Christ at the age of 6. Went to church, saw the saints of God shout. Saw the children of Zion sing. He said, "That's what I want to be. I want to be a preacher." But by the age of 14, he had become bound with sin. At the age of 16, he spent 2 years in a juvenile detention center. At the age of 18, he went to prison. At the age of 24, he was freed. At the age of 26, he went right back. At the age of 29, he got out again. At the age of 30, last Sunday, they found my cousin dead in a gutter. Beat to death. Drowned. But you know what? The whole time that he was bound in prison, there was something worse. His soul was bound. His soul was bound. Not every prodigal son comes home. You hear me tonight? Not every prodigal son comes home. You may think that you're playing games with God. You may think that you can come home anytime you want. You may think that you can unlock the chains that have bound your heart anytime you want to. But let me tell you something. Only the Son can set you free. And only when His presence is here. Not every prodigal makes it back. Everyone stand to their feet tonight. There's still a fountain. I said, there's still a fountain. Every head bowed and all eyes closed. Say, preacher, you preached and I didn't need nothing that you preached tonight. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. If you're here tonight and you're bound, it's not a gross sin. It's not something that maybe everyone would think was so sickening, but for you it's sin, and it's hard to put down, and it's hard to stop. Would you just by an uplifted hand say, preacher, pray for me? I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a song leader, a choir director. You are not exempt from the Word of God. You are not exempt from the bonds of sin. And you need to be touched tonight. Don't let pride stop you. If you're here tonight and you're bound, and you need God to touch you. You say, preacher, I don't want to be like the boy they found in the gutter. I don't want to be like the boy they found in a gutter. But I want to come just like Esau did before my father and lift up my voice and say, is there not one more blessing? Break the yoke from off my neck. Just by an uplifted hand, say, preacher, pray for me. Now, if you don't lift your hand, I'm not going to be discouraged. And I'm not going to be depressed. Because I believe that God has spoken to hearts tonight. Sing this chorus with me tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. Their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Hallelujah. If there's no one here that's bound tonight, let's just all find a place to pray. And let's ask God to keep us free. Let's ask God to keep us from being bound.